Hi everyone, it's Roger and Matt here from the This Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We're going to be talking about a number of new video games which got revealed this week. And also we're going to be talking about E3 and our predictions and what we know about E3 so far with regards to Disney-related themed titles. So again, thank you very much for joining us in this episode. If you haven't already done so, make sure you hit that subscribe button, and also you can find us on all the different social medias. So let's jump first into our first topic of this episode, and that is Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. No doubt the biggest story of the week, and quite possibly probably the biggest one really of the year. The new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge themed area has opened in California, in main Disneyland Resort. It will be opening up on the end of August in Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World. So everyone that's kind of on the East Coast kind of will have to wait a little bit unless they plan on going out to the West Coast.
It's one day after my birthday.
Ooh. Are you going out to Florida this year?
I already did March.
Oh, yeah, you already did, yeah.
I only go once every 2 years, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm saving my next one for the 50th.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, we were nearly going to go for a sneaky one this year, but we decided against it and going to have a different kind of vacation. But might be a few years before I get to see it either at either of the parks. Probably California might be a little bit more of things because we kind of want to do something a little bit different. That's the thing. Sometimes I love going to Orlando, but sometimes mixing up and going somewhere else is kind of quite nice. That's why.
That's the thing with me too. And especially I want to wait for the crowd to die down because I went to Harry Potter, I think a month after it opened in Universal, and the crowds were so bad that I haven't returned to Universal since. And that was back in 2010.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of updates when we were this time last year. Literally this time last year, we were at the parks. And yeah, Harry Potter wasn't as bad in the morning, but it was gradually getting busier. And I think that's the big thing with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. It's going to be busy for a while. The only good thing really with this one is because they've kind of built one on each coast, they're also building one in Disneyland Paris that will be opening up in a few years' time. So it helps spread it out a little bit. But they're going to be releasing different attractions as they go. So we've got, at the minute, we've got Smuggler's Run, which is a brand new Millennium Falcon ride that's open as of now in Disneyland, but the Rise of Resistance ride is going to be a little bit later. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, kind of spread out the love.
I see it, it's a good thing because I don't want them to rush it, because I heard that the reason it didn't open at launch was because it's brand new technology and it's been breaking down every time they try to test the ride. So they want to iron it out for another few months before it gets released, because it's possibly the biggest e-ride Disney ever built.
Yeah, that's the key thing, is you got to remember that they're better off waiting a little bit and doing it properly than trying to rush it. If the rest of the area and everything else was ready, I mean, they had to open with one ride. I mean, we've got other areas we've only have one attraction in. It's not a bad thing. I mean, the video footage that we've seen, I'm going to use some B-roll for the YouTube video of this, and it just looks stunning. It just looks amazing how they do it, how you've got like the theming, how they've got the big Millennium Falcon in the middle, they've got the X-Wings, the TIE Fighters, and you've got to imagine that they are going to keep updating it with new content. There's little sneak peeks of bits and pieces.
No doubt.
Yeah, they're going to be, there's apparently pieces of stuff from Rise of the Skywalker and also The Mandalorian. There's things of that hidden in the set, so we obviously don't know what's going on there.
And there's a few things from Rebels.
Yeah.
Like some of the species in Rebels are audiomatronics at the creature shop.
Yeah. And also, Hondo, he's kind of one of the big animatronics. And I mean,
and he's from the cartoons.
Yeah.
This is the first time he's been used.
It's really funny because I've been watching through this year. I've gone through all of the Rebels episodes and I'm currently on season 5 of The Clone Wars. I've now got so much more appreciation for characters like Hondo because I didn't necessarily know them a year ago. Now, when I see him, I recognize him and I know him as a fun character. Whereas,
yeah, I got all my Rebel seasons here.
Oh, yes. Very nice. Yeah, I have them on Disney Life in the UK. So we got the streaming service.
We don't have it here in Netflix. We just have Clone Wars. That's it.
Yeah, and of course that got taken off Netflix as well 2 months ago. I don't know about in Canada. I don't know if it's still on Canada.
I believe it is because the contract here is different. They have, I believe, a year, and then they take it off. Like Christopher Robin and such are still here, but they're not going to be here for much longer.
No. This is the thing. It's all going to be mixing around a bit, but Galaxy's Edge, I think it's going to be a big hit. It's going to draw people in. It's kind of interesting because it does seem to be quite a lot of bargains and stuff for like early September, as far as I was seeing, for going to the parks. They seem to be doing a lot of discounts. We saw massive discounts on some of the offerings that we were getting in September, which is why we were looking at going, was because I had a look at the dates going, well, this is like a week after Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And I don't know if it's because people are avoiding it. And I do suspect if you
I think yeah, because considering what happened after Pandora and Toy Story, it got so crowded and people were miserable in the first days that probably bad word got around and they're basically trying to avoid opening day again.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. If I as much as I'd love to go in there, and the same thing for Disneyland, if I was living in LA, I'd want to go do it. And if it was busy, it'd be like, yeah, I'm going to, but you want the atmosphere of being there and you want to be in on it. But on a vacation kind of thing, it's great if it ties in while you're there. But there is nothing worse than when you can see an attraction and you know it's ready and you know that they're testing it and it's not opening for a few more days or another week. I had that with Ratatouille in Disneyland Paris. I could see through the gate, I could see the attraction, I could see it all. And I'd heard reports of them testing it, but it was opening a week later. And it was just one of those things, and obviously you have to wait then until you go back. But Galaxy's Edge, it just looks a stunning area. They really, oh, carry on.
I was saying I can't wait for a few months from now when they're going to unleash all the droids and all the citizens around to give it more life when the crowds die down.
I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of stuff in there which, you know, they're selling, like the food and the beverages and all the different merchandise. I've spoke before about the merchandise. I'll be honest, at the minute, from what they've been putting out the images of, I'm not entirely sold on it. I know what they're trying to do, of trying to offer this kind of themed stuff. It just all seems a little either too cheap
Or too expensive.
It's like
$25,000 R2-D2.
Yeah, that would do. I'll have two of them. And the lightsabers of $200. But the soft toys all look a little bit like...
It's because they're made to look like as if an alien made them. They're not meant to look like the ones you can get in stores.
Yes, whereas I view them more as... That's what I would find down at my local fun fair when they come into town every two weeks a year. I personally don't think that I know what they're trying to do and trying to make it stand out away from the stuff that's in the stores, because they've got so much stuff. I don't know. Really? Just like, to me, like the quality level of some of the new toys are so high. This feels like a step backwards. I don't know how much, even if I was there, I might pick up a few things, but there's not a lot.
One thing I want. It's the Porg. That's it.
Yeah,
but even then, I'm a little bit disappointed. It's more like a puppet; it really doesn't do much. But at least it makes the sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Kind of feels a little bit like that the Banshee shoulder puppet that we had.
Yeah, that was quite popular for a little bit. Now it's at like little minion that Jabba the Hutt had in Return of the Jedi. That weird like rat bird creature thing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting what they do with it all. Like I said, the merchandise kind of has... I like the fact of how they've set it all up and they've done the stores and stuff. I do wonder what's going to happen in a year or two's time when they start looking at the numbers and going, like Galaxy's Outpost and the store down in downtown Disney and stuff are selling more merchandise than the gift. Because I do wonder if like the more traditional toys that we see outside and the other merchandise will start creeping in when they start realizing, oh, this stuff's not selling as well. Because I do think that I just don't feel like this is going to set the world. Like, just looking at how people are talking about, there's not a lot of excitement over this stuff, and it's
it's just the food.
Yeah, food and things like that. I think, you know, it felt a little bit also with the same thing happened with Avatar when that area opened up, and the merchandise was, you know, they're going for this whole idea of, oh, this is what would be found on the planet and all the rest of it. And it's like, people are looking at it going, no, it just looks like expensive tat. And I think that's where I can see what they're doing. And it's a lot, probably very nicely profitable. But I do wonder if they'll start creeping in more traditional toys when they, because it's not selling as well. Or they'll start putting stores maybe on the outer boundaries nearby, or start using that, like the attraction, the shops near Star Tours for a lot more of that product. I don't know. It's gonna be. I would like to guess either way, but if in a few years' time, I wouldn't be at all surprised if this kind of gets replaced. And some, that's just my personal
one prediction I have.
Yeah,
is that they're gonna take like the Hasbro toys and repackage it to look like it's from Band 2. So that way they can have the quality of products, but still tied in.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing of, like, you know, they have got different products like that, but if they repackaged them a little bit more, they probably could get away with it. And I think people would love it. But we're in that kind of keep thing now of how they keep rolling that along. And what's going to happen when people going back? If they go, no, that's a cheap puppet, I'll buy something else. Or I think as a whole, merchandise is a bit of a strange one. People will want, there's some like souvenirs and stuff which look great, but they are quite expensive, and unless you are a real diehard fan, you might not necessarily know what they are. Works for diehard people going there in the maybe the first 3 to 6 months, but long term, people might more necessarily want a statue of a character they know. And I don't know, it's gonna be, we'll have to see what happens with there. But anything else catch your eye from that, from the opening of Star Wars Land Galaxy's Edge?
I like the theming. I like having characters like Chewbacca and Kylo Ren walking around, and he has new lines just for marketplace. Like, I heard, like, corner the marketplace, make sure the rebel doesn't get away, and they do a little bit of a show of the stormtroopers. Once that's one thing I like, because that's the big thing with Harry Potter, is that you can't meet Hagrid, you can't meet Harry Potter, you can't meet any of the main characters, but here in Galaxy's Edge, you can meet the big Star Wars characters.
Especially as well, since a majority of those characters are masked, and therefore
you can just anybody.
And it looks like them. You know, there's that kind of, I remember last year watching a show, and it all came out, and you had Rey and all the rest of it. It's like, no, that just looks like a cosplay. Whereas Kylo Ren comes out, or the Stormtroopers, you instantly recognize him. And Chewbacca kind of falls into that zone as well.
I think that's definitely Darth Vader as well.
Yeah, Darth Vader, the droid.
Because they can just use voice clips from the movie actors, or the stand-in. Like, Darth Vader is the stand-in for the games. But for Kylo Ren, we actually have Adam Driver doing the lines for the costume.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, I did watch the live presentation of them opening it up, where they brought in like Harrison Ford and
Mark Hamill. Where was Paul Rubens?
Who was he?
Rex in Star Tours, and he did some new lines for Galaxy's Edge. He was spotted earlier that day with Mark Hamill and Billy Dee Williams, so everybody was like, oh my god, Paul Rubens is going to be at the opening, but no, he wasn't there.
I think, to be honest, I think they kind of used name recognition. They were going for the big guns. They were brought, you know.
I was surprised with Harrison Ford, considering his history with Star Wars and wanting to get out of the franchise as soon as Episode 7.
I think as well, it being in, the fact that it was in LA is easier for them. They're, you know, where they live. I think if it was in Walt Disney World, that would have been a little bit bad. And also, it depends how much moolah they were given.
And also, he did do an ad lib and did a little tribute to Peter Mayhew during the opening ceremony. That's why it was a bit of a delay with the fireworks.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I thought that was a really good presentation. And just as a whole, a lot of publicity this week. I think that definitely worked to their favor of how they've promoted it. And yeah, I'm going to be interesting how this goes on. But obviously, let us know in the comments below or on social media what you think of Galaxy's Edge. So let's now look on to our second topic of the week, and that's going to be E3. So E3 is taking place kind of like the second and third week of June.
I think the panels start next week, and E3 starts the week after.
Yeah, so far we do know that at E3, Square Enix, they have taken the old PlayStation 4 or the PlayStation slot, so they are going to be there, and they have already confirmed that they will be there for Avengers, the new Marvel Avengers game, which they have revealed. It will be taking place at Monday, June 10th at 6 p.m. during the Square Enix E3 2019 event, which will be coming from Los Angeles. They'll be showing off Marvel Avengers, which is being designed for gamers worldwide and will be packed with all the characters, environments, and iconic moments that were thrilled long-term fans of the franchise. Featuring a completely original story, it will introduce a universe so gamers can play for years to come. I'm wondering if this is going to be a little bit of an live-action, a live-service game. But they're saying for years to come, and there's been rumors and leaks and stuff about it being like a single-player, multiplayer game, similar to maybe Destiny, where you create your own hero. I don't know. It's sending off weird vibes of whether or not this is going to be a live-service.
I was kind of hoping for an action RPG, kind of like Kingdom Hearts, in a way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out, whether or not you create your own character and then you go out into the big wide world, or if you can be a hero. Hopefully we will find out soon. This is definitely the big headline event for Square Enix. Now, the fact that they're taking over the PlayStation slot means something big had to go in there. This was great. I'm glad that they've got it out there ahead of time, confirmed it, building up the hype. I'm really excited about this one. You know, after the big hit of Spider-Man last year, a big game for Xbox and PlayStation 4 and maybe PC as well will be a good thing. Also confirmed, we also know that EA will be there. They'll be at their EA Play event, which is taking place on June the 8th. They're not going to be doing their press conference this year. They have abandoned that idea. And they're going to be doing a day-long event. So at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will be shown off, and that will be presented by Greg Miller and Andrea Renee from the Kind of Funny Games and also What's Good Games. Let's be honest, I do listen to those podcasts every day, so it's great to see them kind of got a slot. I'm also loving the time slot, 9:30 in the morning, perfect for me in the UK, because 8 hours time difference. That's the problem with the Avengers one, because I think
it's 9 p.m. EST.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, yeah, not. So for me, it's literally the middle of the night. So that one will be something I'll have to wait until I get up in the morning for. But
yeah, I'm probably gonna cover it on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
In terms of EA,
yeah,
there is also the possibility of a Simpsons game.
Yes, that's right. Because the Simpsons.
There's a rumor.
Yeah. Well, no, they've already put out a message saying that they're doing a panel at E3, which was sort of sent up a lot of flags. People were talking, well, are they just going to be talking about Hit and Run, or is there a new Simpsons game?
Most likely it's a new one that might combine both Road Rage and elements of Hit and Run to make one big game.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I think this is good. We haven't had a good Simpsons game for a long time. You know, if you take Tapped Out, I mean, that one's been rolling around on mobile for a while.
There hasn't been one for almost 12 years.
Yeah, I think PlayStation 2 Hit and Run was the...
No, it was Simpsons game from EA, the one that was made to promote the movie.
Oh, right. I don't even remember it. That's how... I mean, I remember playing the Simpsons game at the arcade when I was a kid and loved it, but that was a long time ago.
I just played it for the Xbox 360 and that's about it.
I think there's something, you don't go to E3 to do a promotion of The Simpsons unless you've got
it. It just doesn't make sense. It has to be a game.
Yeah. So there are other presentations going on. We've got Xbox. I'd have got probably like about a 2-hour event. That's going to be the main big event. As I said, Sony aren't there. There's other ones.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Besides, it's probably going to be a state of play, and those are kind of disappointing, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. See, I'll be honest with state of play. At the minute, they're 2-for-2 because we've had a Predator game and an Iron Man VR game. So at the minute, Disney have been doing very well for me for state of play. The fact that we saw the new trailer for the brand new the game from I can't even think of what it was, the big one that's coming out, this Death Stranding, the fact that they've already got that trailer out, I wouldn't at all be surprised if we see a few things, but we're gonna be having to wait to go on. Nintendo are gonna be there, they're at the events, they've also got a Nintendo Direct.
We got two Disney games from them.
Yes,
we have Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, and we have Disney Tsum Tsum from Bandai Namco.
Yeah, so we know, I think we will see a lot more of those two, especially Marvel. Both of those are out over the summer, so expect we'll see a little bit more of that. I'll be honest, the Disney Tsum Tsum game is not a game I might pick it up, but
I would rather have a remake of those 3DS Magical World games, because it's the same developer. Like, remake those for a Switch and you'll have a big seller.
My big thing with, yeah, I think the problem with, like, for me is the Tsum Tsum one is it feels like it's like 2 to 3 years too late. It feels like the Tsum Tsum, like, hype train is,
it's still well big in Japan. I think that's probably what they had in mind. It was probably supposed to be a Japanese exclusive, but Disney probably forced them to do worldwide.
It makes sense, you know, make these games worldwide. And I'll be honest, I would probably much rather pay 30 quid for a game and then just not have to worry about microtransactions. So I think it's going to be a big hit, as you said, especially in Japan, because the Switch has already outsold the PlayStation 4 out there. I'm really excited about Marvel's Ultimate Alliance 3. I like the last two. It will give me a reason to fire up my Switch. I've kind of been sat there for a few months. I haven't really been kind of...
I'll make a prediction for the Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see another Disney game announced. It makes sense. Like, the Switch is the perfect console for kids, so...
Yeah,
it would make sense for Nintendo to have another Disney exclusive because they already have two of them.
Yeah, and recently it was also revealed that John Vannocchi, who was one of the head chiefs over at Disney Infinity, has joined Nintendo this week.
Yeah, he is at the moment the person talking to developers and publishers for Nintendo. He has a pretty big job.
Yeah, so that's obviously going to be a good thing, I think, going forward for Disney, and because he's obviously going to have the connections to kind of line that up. But I wouldn't be at all surprised. We need something from the Disney side of the video games.
Yeah, it's been dead for years, aside from Kingdom Hearts. Oh, yeah, we're probably going to get some DLC news from Square Enix.
Yes, Kingdom Hearts, that'll be probably through that event. So there's actually quite a lot this year. It's probably the best year for games that I think we've had for a while. Last year obviously was about Spider-Man, the year before was about Battlefront 2. So we've had little bits and pieces, but I think this year is lining up quite nicely. You know, with at least 5 games that we know about, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see something else, some backwards compatibility stuff for Xbox, just as general. But we need some Disney ones. There is also some rumors floating around that there might be a new Lego Star Wars game announced as well by TT Games.
Yeah, I think it was the voice of the droids, not like C-3PO, I mean like the droids, the bad ones from Clone Wars.
Yeah.
He kind of leaked that he did lines as General Grievous for a Lego game, so we are definitely seeing a Lego Star Wars game, if not a Lego Star Wars. I'm predicting a Lego Toy Story that covers all 4 films.
Yeah, I mean, I could see both at this point. The only issue I think with the Toy Story one is I think it'll be too late, because it should have, if Toy Story being out in cinemas in June this month, it should have already been kind of.
Yeah, the only reason I say that was because the Pixar and Lego Twitter accounts have been using images of the Lego characters, like Toy Story characters as Lego characters for their promotions whenever a new trailer was out. So
that's kind of
why I assumed there would be a game, but it's probably too late.
I'm betting on Star Wars because we haven't had one since Episode 7.
Force Awakens.
Yep, they skipped Last Jedi and they skipped Solo, so now they've kind of got a little bit more to go with.
And they can always adapt more stuff from the Marvel comics, like for Force Awakens for their C-3PO campaign based off a Marvel miniseries.
So there's that. So that quite easily could be of a few bits and pieces. I'm kind of interested to see what happens at this E3. It's a bit of a strange one with Sony not being there, Nintendo doing whatever Nintendo does. I've been sliding more towards the Xbox side because of Game Pass. It's definitely an interesting one going forward, but obviously we'll have to know what you guys think at home. So make sure you comment below or get in touch with us on social media with what you're predicting for E3. Okay, so on to our final topic of the week, which is going to be, there's recently been a number of mobile games that have been announced. There was two specific Disney titles that were revealed. So I'm just going to bring up the details here to read out to you guys. So first off, Gameloft have announced two different games. One is called Disney Princess Magical Quest, and the other one is called Disney Getaway Blast. So they're building on the success of Disney Magic Kingdoms. Hopefully that's called listening to customers. They're going to be launching on mobile games featuring iconic Pixar and Disney characters. So, yeah, I mean, I think here, so Disney Princess Magical Quest will bring the renowned royals to life, enlightening puzzle lovers and fans alike. It is basically, it looks to be a match-free kind of game.
Yeah, there was a new Toy Story one that just came out this week.
Yeah.
It just started playing.
Yeah, and then we've got Disney Getaway Blast, which takes players through physics-based puzzles in an all-new Disney Vacation Paradise. The game introduces popular Disney and Pixar characters, a new adorable style that lets fans build a collection of characters as they pop through the puzzles. It's kind of got a baby vibe to it. It's a bit of an
odd kind of Animal Crossing-ish.
Yeah. So those two were the two Disney ones that got revealed. This week also saw the release of the new Toy Story Drop mobile game. And I will be completely honest with you. That game, I saw the trailers and I saw it all. And I just looked at it and was like, I don't even want to install it. I didn't even want to install it and do a video. I just was just like, no, this is just bland match free to win game. It's like, this is just, it's not gonna last. It will be gone by the end of the year.
Yeah. The only positive from what I played is that they brought Jim Hanks to do new lines for Woody, and that's about it.
Yeah,
it's your basic puzzle game.
It's a quick tie-in game, and unfortunately, I don't know. I know what they're going for, and I know who are the kids and stuff and family and stuff, but this is the kind of game that Disney, I know they've got, I think it's Big Fish doing it or something like that.
Yes, Big Fish.
It'll be probably gone in a year because it's too generic. It's just too bland, and there's going to be very little excitement about this one because at least the two other titles they've got that kind of look a little bit different and they're integrating other different characters. The Toy Story stuff, once they've got the main characters in, there's only so much really you can do with that.
I'm surprised that Frozen 1 is still around.
I think the thing is with Frozen Freefall, and they keep updating it, is it must still be making money. It's just bottom line is that. If it's still bringing in enough money to warrant doing the effort, that's why that one's still around. Because very few, that one and Maleficent Freefall seem to be the only two like long-standing Disney titles actually getting updates. Most of them have kind of been finished off and cleared off.
Yeah, Disney Heroes just got an update, and for the first year anniversary, they gave away Goofy for free.
Yeah, so there's a few other bits and pieces that there's a new Marvel RPG that is going to be out in Asia. Whether or not we see that one, I don't know. This one,
latest one we got was the one with the cards, Marvel Battle Line.
There was another one. It's called Marvel Super War, which has opened its beta test, and it's apparently in Southeast Asia. And they're doing a test in Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, and India.
And so, Disney also have a Sorcerer's Arena that's currently testing in some countries, but it's not here yet.
Yeah. And there's also, I think, Zoom Zoom Land as well. There was another one.
Yes, that's Japan only at the moment.
Yeah. So I don't know. They're messing around. They're kind of doing it. Different companies are working on it.
And there's one in Australia.
Yeah.
That's based on the Donald Duck comics. It's called Duck Force Rises.
All right.
I know. Yeah. It's like we keep saying that Disney mobile games are dying, but there's still a lot of them overseas.
Yeah, they keep bringing them out because they're trying to find the right thing. I do know that they have teamed up with Apple for their new game system. They've definitely teamed up with Microsoft to deliver their old games on things like Xbox Game Pass and Games with Gold. So they keep trying stuff. As we said the other week, they really re-released some classics. They just don't seem to be able to do anything more than re-release old titles.
Or just do new mobile games and just ignore consoles completely.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the console world that they've been very open about the fact. Yeah.
I remember having at least 3 Disney games a year before.
So we have had Kingdom Hearts 3 and we've got the upcoming Disney Zim Zim game. But it's just very light. I know there's this thing of the double A game kind of territories kind of falling away, and it's either triple A or indie, but they don't seem to be even like hitting anywhere in between. And the minute like Marvel announced a new mobile game, all you see in the comments are going, we want something decent. Hopefully with Avengers and also Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
There's a trailer, all I see is like, where's the new Spider-Man trailer? Where's the new Spider-Man trailer? Where's the next console game? Where's the next console game? Every time I see a Disney mobile game trailer, it's the same thing. Where's the next console Disney game? Where's my Magical World 3? Where's my Disney Infinity Gold on consoles? It's crazy.
Yeah. I think because they've been so starved, there's a generation of kids coming up now that just have not really had this now. And I don't know. On one hand, it's good that they keep announcing new titles, but the same rate, I think of how many title stories I've been writing on Disney Kingdom about titles being deleted. It's like, okay. And I know personally, it's just like, I will not sink any money into these games because they'll be gone. And also you get nothing for it because in 20 minutes time, they're like, oh, did you want something? Please give us something. And I think in general, the people playing games now, they're much more savvy to this. They're much more used to the concept of microtransactions. And that's why Disney keep launching these new ones, because they're trying to find what's going to work, what's going to bring it in. I definitely found like Disney Heroes Battle Mode was probably one of the worst Disney titles in terms of microtransactions that I felt of.
Yeah, I have not sunk money. I just grinded for the characters because it is expensive. Like for 100 character tokens, it's like $69. Mm. Like, no, I can easily grind it in 12 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me now, it's like I'd much rather put that money into a video game that I could play properly. And be that, you know, it's just that situation, really. I think I've been burnt out on the microtransactions because I have spent money on them and I have been buying stuff from multiple different Disney titles and Marvel titles. But I'd rather just put that money towards something realistic. Or I don't mind buying DLC, I don't mind, but cosmetic stuff is just not interesting to me.
The only thing I'd buy from now is Magic Kingdoms, that's it.
And even that, I mean, I've dropped that game about 6 weeks ago, and
I'm the only one here still playing it, and I'm in the Tower Challenge, and I've collected all the Raja tokens so far, because I pretty much have all the characters that they require, except for Elsa and Sven for the Frozen one, but I have everybody else, so I'm fine. And next week, it's going to be Wreck-It Ralph, and I already got all of them leveled up at 10, so... The thing I liked with this version was, if you bought the Sultan, it came with 2 pieces of Raja, like all 3 slots, you got 2 pieces automatically.
Yeah, I think there was such a reaction to how the community was being very... There was a big tidal wave of complaints with the game. And
also, the amount is 25, 25, 25, no more of 15, 25, and then like 50.
Yeah.
It's all just 25 to make it more fair.
I think they realized that there was a lot of people doing probably what I did of going, hold on, I keep putting effort into these tower events and I'm getting nowhere, to the point where you're going, nah. And you lose too many people, because unfortunately, I might not necessarily have been called a whale, but I was definitely a dolphin where I brought all the bundles. But yep, you lost me. I'd rather put that $8
but or something. But one thing I hate is that they started the Toy Story 4 mission early, and I'm at the point where I can start collecting for Ducky, but I can't start for another 30 days.
No.
It's just, I just see it there teasing me. And then in 5 days, I can start unlocking for the Bo Peep costumes. Like, why? I know you have updates and such, but why tease your fans a month early?
Yeah, it's a bit bad. But nevertheless, I'd love to know what you guys think of these brand new mobile titles. Is it something that you're going to be into, or is it something that you're just going to skip? Let me know in the comments below, or get in touch with us on social media. Well, there we go, guys. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode. Make sure you go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe. And yep, Matt, where can they find you?
They can find me on YouTube on Matthew LeBlanc. I just do Disney vlogs, and I sometimes cover other Disney stuff sometimes. Recently, I did a Disney tier list of all the animated features from Disney.
Okay, so, and also, if you're into Disney Plus, make sure you go check out our other YouTube channel and website, whatsondisneyplus.com, and me and James are continuing to do a weekly podcast where we talk about all the movies and TV shows, etc. So make sure you go check that one out as well. Anyway, guys, thank you very much. We'll see you guys soon. Laters.